Well, recently, I tried to sell something on eBay, and Nathaniel had this duplicate Lego set. Now, you know Legos are pretty expensive, right? So Nathaniel had this duplicate Lego set that was the Ewok Village, and I have a picture of it here. It's pretty intense. It looks small on the screen, but there's a lot of pieces to it. And so he had an extra set that was never used. It was in the box. It was in the packages. It had all the instructions. It just didn't have the box. And so we put it together and we put it out on eBay, and it was kind of getting complicated how they do all the, how you're supposed to post it and put it on auction, and you're supposed to put certain words or not, and you're supposed to take pictures of it. And so we got it all up there, and Nathaniel had done his research, and he found that some of these items go for $300 to $500. So he was pretty excited because he's raising money to get a car, his first car. And so we got it up there, and we put it on eBay, and we set it up for about $245, and we put it for about 10 days on the auction. And we didn't know all the ins and outs, but we found out pretty soon after we had this interaction with somebody that it gets complicated. And so we had 12 different people bid on it, and someone sent us a message saying, hey, I'll buy it outright and I'll pay $20 for shipping. And so we said yes, and we tried to figure out how to stop the auction, so we were able to do that. So then we mailed, you know, fast forward, we mailed it to this guy, and the guy receives it, and he says that we were deceiving him and that we put Lego in the description, and it's not Lego. It's an actual Japanese version of Lego that is very authentic. It fits with Lego. It works with Lego. You wouldn't know anything different if you weren't a Lego person. So this guy wanted his full refund. So after the money had been put into my account, he wants it back. So I try and explain to this guy. I say, look, through email, whatever. I can give you money back, but I can't give you the money that costs for fees and shipping and all of that, which comes to about $60, $65 of fees and shipping and all of that. Well, the guy didn't accept that. He sent it to claims, and PayPal, which is the company that has the claims, sided with him and requires the $265 back. Now, why do I tell you that story? I tell you that story not for your sympathy, okay? I tell you that story because there are things in this life that are dealt with in a contract. And a contract is something that happens where you put your stuff out there, and there's rules and regulations, and if you don't fulfill that, then the contract expires or doesn't is not fulfilled. And so I don't know the guy from Adam. All I have is his email. I couldn't find him on Facebook. And I probably could get a lawyer, you know, and take this to court or whatever. But is that worth it? No. But a contract is something that is important in some context. But in a few minutes, I'm going to talk to you about relationships again. And we've been talking about relationships for the last few weeks. And sometimes we view relationships and sometimes we view marriage. Sometimes we view God and our relationship with God as a contract. And sometimes we look at it as a casual relationship. There are three different types of relationships that I want to explain to you this morning. One is casual. One is contractual with a contract. And then the third one is covenantal, as a covenant. And I want to explain those three differences. And sometimes our relationship doesn't end up exactly how we viewed it in the past. Like we see I talked with you a few weeks ago. We see pictures of people on Facebook or social media, and we see they're all happy and they're go lucky, and yet that's not the true picture of life, of relationships. And so, it's interesting in relationships when you talk about marriage or dating or whatever, that opposites attract, right? Because Susan and I are a complete opposites in our relationship. Our interests, the way we view life are completely opposite. And so, how many of you are more tight with your money? You save, you don't spend, you put it away. How many of you didn't realize that there was something called savings, that you didn't realize that you're supposed to put money away in the savings account? Okay, yeah. Some of you are punctual. If you go to different cultures, they have different punctual. You are on time if you go there 10 minutes early. You're on time in Mexico type of southern places if you're 20 minutes late, right? So personalities, punctuality, some of you are on time, some of you are late. And there's different opposites. And so some of you are organized. I'm not organized. There's always my wife, there's a place for everything. Some of you have that same same personality, and so some of us are more creative. I choose to put my keys in a different place every single time, and so and my phone, and so I'm more creative, right? So that it takes me 10 minutes to find everything to get out the door. And so it's funny that opposites attract. But when you get married or when you make a commitment with somebody, that tends to be opposites begin to attack, right? Because what's cute before the relationship, what's cute and adorable becomes a little more frustrating and annoying after the commitment, after the marriage commitment. And so I hope some of you have relationship goals. When we talk about being a follower of Jesus, when we talk about being Christ-centered, that is different than the world sees it. Putting Christ first in our relationships is different. It's not the norm. And I talked 4 weeks ago about in your relationships, whether it's married or whether it's a good friend or whatever, to put Christ first. The best way to do that, the best way to start with that is to pray together, is to come together and put the relationship under God and to pray and ask him to help, to direct, to give wisdom and to continue helping you in your relationship, in your marriage. And so being Christ-centered is the first one. And then also being mission driven. There's a purpose in life. There's a mission. God has a mission, and to be on the same page. And so sit down with your spouse, your significant other, and talk about what is our purpose and where are we going in life, and to determine that. The third one that we talked about last week was to be devil kicking. And because the enemy is a roaring lion, he is out there wanting to destroy whatever God wants to put together. He wants unity in relationships, and the devil wants to devour, and he wants to divide. And so how do we do that? We put the armor of God on, and we pray for each other. We pray together, and we avoid the enemy. We do not allow him to have a foothold in our lives. And so today I want to finish up talking about being covenant keeping. That's a word that that we don't use all the time, possibly in a marriage ceremony we use that word, but covenant is a different phrase, a different way of looking at relationships. Matthew 19:3, Jesus is having a conversation, or the Pharisees are having a conversation with Jesus, and they're trying again to trick Jesus. In fact, there are many times where it says the first thing they say is the Pharisees are trying to test Jesus or to trick him. So verse 3, some Pharisees came to him to test him. They asked, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason? Haven't you read, Jesus says, haven't you read that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female? And said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become flesh. And so, did I have 6 in there? Okay. And so, therefore, what God has joined together, let no one or no man, no one separate. And so God, what God wants to unite, God wants to unite a man and a woman. The enemy wants to, he has a scheme to divide. And we know this, we see this in our society, that there is division in married couples. And so what does it mean to have a covenant keeping in our relationships? So the three different approaches. We'll see around our culture this casual approach to marriage. When you look around, you see this casual approach where marriage is no big deal. It's just a piece of paper. It's just, it's a casual approach. And then there's the contractual approach. Marriage is a contract. We sign on the dotted lines, and here is our agreement. And so there's the casual, there's the contractual, and then there is the third approach, which is the covenant. Covenantal approach. And this is the idea where God, there's a holy covenant established that God establishes. And so the casual is, like I said, it's no big deal. I mean, I might get married, I might not. I might get married somewhere in the future, and marriage is just a piece of paper. It doesn't really matter. Whenever we have a casual approach to marriage, it also generally leads to a casual approach to sex. And then you look at it, someone with a casual approach to sex, they would probably say something like, as long as two consulting adults agree, it's really nobody's business anyway. We're not hurting anyone. And so that is a casual approach. But it's interesting, if you look at the research Barna did in 2017, that 57% of people said they're either currently or previously, they have previously lived with a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And they also say that those living together are more likely to get to be separated, to break it off than married couples. And so it's really easy to say when you are in a casual relationship that is convenient to live together, because it'll save money. It seems to make sense, and we're just testing things out. Now, my goal is not to shame, but let's call it what it is. You have on some level a commitment. When you live together, there is a commitment to when you share an address together. But what could end up happening is, if we really think about marriage being no big deal, let's say you go live together, and let's just say you're going to do some things that are typically reserved for married couples. You move in with somebody, you put your toothbrush in the toothbrush holder, you put your clothes in the little drawer, you share the bills, you share the address, you might share a sandwich, right? You might share the bed. Essentially, you do married things even though you're not married. And so if things don't work out, you take your toothbrush, you take your clothes, you take your sandwich, right? And you break up and you go along with somebody else. And so weeks and months later, you find someone that you truly love and you've decided to marry them. Well, you've already put into motion this casual perspective, And what happens is that when the person frustrates you because they squeeze the toothpaste in the wrong way, or they don't put the toilet lid down the right way or up, and they don't do the toilet paper right, the up or down, and they don't put the ketchup back, or they breathe funny, then the casual perspective is, I'm out of here. And you break it off because it's just not working anymore. And so that's what this casual relationship will look like if you approach it as, this is just a piece of paper. This is just a relationship that's not that big of a deal. I want to show you a picture. Save marriage picture. Stop saying marriage is a piece of paper. So is money, but you get up every day and work hard for it. So work hard for your relationship and your marriage. So marriage is way better, and it is greater than just a casual relationship. And then there's the second one, contractual approach. Some people sign a prenup agreement. And what a prenup agreement is your stuff and my stuff. If we ever decide to get divorced or go separate ways, you get to take your stuff and I get to take mine, and we don't have to share it. And so, but what the problem with the contract is that all that is that it's the contract is based on mistrust. It starts out with this mutual distrust. Think about it. If we're going to enter into a deal with each other and we trust each other, we might shake hands. We might fist bump, or we might say, my word is, it will hold water. That's if we trust each other. But a contract, if I don't trust you, I'm not going to shake hands with you. I'm going to have you sign on the dotted line. And so a contract is almost always to protect the rights of the person signing and limit the responsibilities. This is where my responsibilities end, and this is where your responsibilities start. This is where this contract works. And so just if you've ever rented properties, if you've ever had apartments that you've rented, you know that a contract is very important and it's very essential because you don't trust the person. And you're gonna have a document, a contract for them to sign, and it limits this responsibility for you to have to do everything, and it tells them what they have to do, and so it, I'll fix this and you fix that type of a contract. And so there's the casual approach to marriage, and then there's the contractual approach to marriage, and as long as you're in, we sign on the dotted line, as long as we live up to the standards and agree upon terms, then we are in this together. But if you don't do what you're going to say, I'm out. That's the contractual perspective. I want to show you another picture, relationships and the Bible picture. The differences between a contract and a covenant is, number one, the contract is based on distrust. Number two, it's limited liability, terms of the contract. It ends. And then three, it can be altered if conditions change. But what the better is a covenant where mutual trust is based on personal relationship. Number two, unlimited responsibility, never ends. And number three, it's unchangeable. It can't be changed even if conditions change. And so this third approach is a better approach. Covenantal approach. This is what God intended for a man and a woman to come together and have a relationship. Now, I want to stop for just a second because we'll get to this in a minute. But this marriage thing that God created is supposed to be a beautiful picture of the relationship between you and God, between us and the Creator. This covenant, this relationship, this coming together, Him and us being in relationship together. And so it's a very beautiful picture. There are great things about marriage, but it is a picture of eternity, God and us. And so this, instead of a contract or instead of a casual, a covenant is based on mutual commitment. It's unconditional commitment motivated by a sacrificial love for the other. And so the word covenant comes from an Old Testament Hebrew word that goes like this. It says brith, B-R-I-Y-T-H, brith. Brith means cutting. And when you see a covenant established, there's always shedding of blood. And so in the Old Testament, if two people were to enter into a covenant, there would be often a shedding of blood of a bull or seven lambs. And if two people were entering into a covenant with a bull, they would cut the bull in half. And I know this is gross, but just stick with me. This is what they would do. There would be a half of a bull and half of a bull. And then the people would walk around the bull seven times. And seven times they would essentially be saying that what happens to the bull should happen to me if I don't live up to my oath. And so this is a covenant, a shedding of blood, giving my word that this is a commitment that I will stick by. Now, if you go to a Hebrew wedding, you might see a priest, a rabbi, who would do the marriage ceremony, and they would actually take the bride and the groom's hands, and they would nick it on both hands, and they would draw blood, and they would put the husband and wife's hands together to represent a physical coming together, and what the blood signifies is that life of the person is in the blood, that we are exchanging life, that we are coming together, we are making a covenant together. And so they would bind the hands together, showing outwardly that the two are in the process of becoming one, and they would share in this, and then they would share their covenant vows to their family and friends. And I want you to understand this. Relationships matter to God. Covenant matters to God. Marriage matters to God. He created this whole thing, this covenant, this beautiful thing. If you've ever been to a wedding or you remember your wedding, you've heard different things said to each other. You've heard the pledge. Maybe you didn't even know it was called this, but it's the pledge to one another. And I'm going to give you an example. The pledge that might be said to each other is the groom would start and he would say, the pastor would say, I'm going to say this and you're going to say, I do, okay? And so he would say, do you promise before God and this community to receive this bride as your wife? Do you promise to love her and care for her? Do you promise to seek with God's help to be the spiritual head of your household for this bride? Do you promise to listen to her, to respect her, and to honor her for the unique and special woman of God that she is? And the groom would say, I do. And then you would say to the bride, do you promise before God in this community to accept this groom as your husband? Do you promise to love and to care for him? Do you promise with God's help to submit lovingly to his leadership of your household? And do you promise to listen to him, to respect him, and to honor him as a unique and special man of God that he is? And the bride would say, I do. And then there's the vows. The vows would be something like this. I promise before God and these witnesses that I will love you, that I will be faithful to you. I promise to stand with you in sickness and health, in good times and in bad when you're sick, right? And forsaking all others, I promise to give you my life to you fully and faithfully as long as we both shall live. Again, this is a beautiful picture of what our relationship with God should be like. That it is not a casual relationship. It's like, yeah, it doesn't matter. It's okay. I'll just go hang out with God for a little bit, and then I'll go hang out in the world for a little bit, and then I'll come back and hang out with God for a little bit. It's not like that. And same with marriage. It's not like that. And it's not a contractual relationship with God either. God doesn't just take his promises and walk away and say, I'm not going to fulfill my promises because you were unfaithful. He is faithful no matter what. His covenant is what he has put a covenant out there. And he continues to love us no matter what. The same is to be with marriage. The same is to be with our relationships. I'm going to give you another picture of what love is. Love is giving another person what they need most when they deserve it the least at great personal cost. Love is giving another person what they need most when they deserve it the least at great personal cost. I can tell you this, that I have learned over years, it's taken me a long time, so I'm glad I've been married long enough to know that learning to love another person, I learned how much God loves us. That when I begin to learn to sacrificially love someone, I realize that that's how much God loves us. And the only reason I can do that is because he loves us. Tim Keller says, the covenant made between a husband and wife is done before God, and therefore with God as well as a spouse. To break faith with your spouse is to break faith with God at the same time. And so if you made a covenant with somebody, then, or a commitment, same thing. You're not just breaking it with the person, you're breaking it with God. Gary Thomas also says in a book called Sacred Marriage, a true marriage proposal is an offer, not a request. Rather than saying, in effect, will you do this for me, when we invite another to enter the marriage relationships, the real question should be, will you accept what I want to give? Will you accept what I want to give? And so this is what a covenant looks like. Think about your kids. Children and parents are probably the only real left picture in our society of what a covenant looks like. You have a child, you non-verbally have this covenant with them. And just hear me out for a minute. If your kid goes and does something stupid, will you love them no matter what? Will you still love them? Yes, you will always love them. See, that's what a covenant is. God loves us no matter how many mistakes we make. And the perspective of a covenant in marriage is the same thing. That you love the person despite what they have done. And you continue to sacrificially love them. And so, marriage is a picture of God's love. Hebrews 13:4 says that marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. Marriage should be honored by the word all, right? All of us. Whether you're a teenager, you should honor the marriage bed. Whether you're 21, whether you're 30, whether you're 47 and divorced, the sacred marriage bed should be honored. Whether you're 60, you should honor the covenant of marriage. Now, in the past, churches have said or have communicated that sex is bad or stay away from it. But really, it's a timing thing. It's based on something sacred left in the covenant of marriage. And so instead of saying, no, it's bad, just say, no, this is a beautiful gift from God, and it's supposed to be only in the covenant of marriage. And so when you think about a relationship, when you think about relationship with your spouse, what kind of relationship do you want? Do you want just the casual relationship where, just whatever, you can put your toothbrush here, and if you don't like me anymore, you can leave? Or if you want, do you want to have a contract where if you don't fulfill these certain requirements, then you're out the door? Or do you want a covenant relationship? Something where there's this mutual commitment, there's mutual love, sacrificial love. I've said this in the past, marriage, or any relationship for that matter, is not 50%, 50%. That would be a contract. Marriage is, and just great relationships, are 100%, 100%. You give all that you can. You give all of yourself to this relationship. And which relationship do you want? God gives us the choice. He gives us a free will. You choose. What do you want to be? I want to choose Christ-centered. There's a big difference between calling yourself a Christian and being centered around Christ. And so in our relationship, in my relationship with my wife, I want to be Christ-centered. I want to be mission-driven. I want to be devil-kicking, and I want to be covenant-keeping. So it's not a casual approach. It's not a contract. It's so much more. And so whatever that you decide to do, I think you need to ask the Lord how to be better at this covenant. Sometimes we don't feel like being loving, right? Sometimes we don't feel like doing the work in our relationships. But you don't see a mom that says, I just don't feel like feeding my baby today, right? I just don't feel like going to work for three months because I just don't feel like it, right? I don't feel like paying my taxes this year because you just don't feel like it. That's not the case. The case is, what's the right thing to do? How many of the areas of your life and my life do we do that's important, but we don't feel like it? The big problem so many of us have is, so we just need to be Christ-centered. If you think about God's relationship with us, when we think about how God deals with us, He doesn't deal with us in a casual sense. He doesn't deal with us contractually. He deals with us as a covenant. The old covenant, they would take a lamb once a year, and they would kill the lamb, they would sacrifice, the blood of the lamb would flow into a bucket, and they would take a sponge and they would dip it into the blood, and they would put it over the doorpost, one at the top, two on the sides. And if you think about it, what happens to gravity, the blood in the middle would drip down, and it would represent this picture of the cross and Jesus's blood. And so this is a picture of the old covenant and the new covenant coming together. And this, the reason why they put the blood on is because the angel of death would come by and see the blood and would pass by that house, knowing that they were cleansed from their sins as a temporary. But the new covenant, when Jesus came, He is the Lamb of God who was slain, and He shed His blood for the forgiveness of sins for all time, from the beginning to the end, and we don't have to continue to sacrifice these animals for cleansing of our sins. And so Jesus, He is the breath, the cutting. He did the cutting. He He took care of it in his resurrection. And so whoever calls upon him will be forgiven, will be made new. There was this new covenant. And so when you accept that covenant, when you say, I choose to be in a relationship with God because he chose to be in relationship with me, that is a covenant. That is what marriage is supposed to give us a picture of what God's relationship with us should look like. It's not casual. It's not like, well, I just feel like being with God today. I don't feel like with following God tomorrow. It's not contractual where God just takes his promises and goes and walks away from you. It's not a contract with him. It's a covenant. He has done it all for you, and you say, yes, I'm in. I want to be in this relationship with you. And we make this mutual commitment to each other. Our relationship with others and our relationship with God will be as good as we choose them to be. And so I would think that choosing to do what God intended to do is to stay in covenant with one another, to sacrificially commit yourself to one another, is what God intends. 1 Kings 8:23 says this: The Lord, the God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven above or on earth below. You keep your covenant of love with your servants who continually wholeheartedly in your way. He invites you in to be in covenant with him. And so I want to just invite you this morning. Do you want to have a true relationship with God? Covenant based on something eternal. Then I invite you to be part of that. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for what you have created. Beautiful relationships. And yet we live in a broken world. We live in a divisive world. We live in a place where it's me against you, and I don't get what I want, so I'm going to walk away. And that's just not what you intended. And so, Lord, we confess our wayward ways, our non-committed ways. We confess that we have walked away from you. We've confessed that we've ruined relationships because of our own selfish desires. And so, Lord, we thank you that you are willing to stick with us when we are unfaithful. You love us. You want to put relationships back and make them whole. And I just pray that you would help us to remember that your word is true, and it helps us to make wise decisions in life, and it helps us, your spirit helps us to follow through with our commitments. We ask for your help today in Jesus' name. Amen.